another Design Studio conversation about presentation design and the business of presentation. Here are the show hosts, Troy Caller, Nolan Hands, and Sandra Johnson. Season 6, episode 119.
Hi, I'm Troy Caller from TLC Creative Services, Inc., based in Southern California.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz, and I'm in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in Montclair, New Jersey, that is currently in a blizzard.
Blizzard! Woohoo! Oh, awesome. I'm jealous.
I've already snowblowed the driveway, and about 10 minutes later, it was like I did nothing.
A friend posted a photo, and it was like 12 inches on her back deck. Is that
how? Yeah. It's getting up there, and it's still not letting up.
So, yeah. Wow.
You know what you never need to buy when you live in San Diego?
Snowblower.
Snowblower.
You know what I thought I would never buy when I was living as a single guy in Manhattan? Snowblower.
Snowblower.
That's hilarious.
Guys, we're actually cutting this one close. It is, I mean, tomorrow this episode releases, so this is really recent news, folks, and really, really big conversation. I mean, less than 24 hours, this will go live. And last week was amazing for me, so I'm kind of curious to hear what's happening in studios and work. And I'll give you our quick summary. Let's see here. Lori managed part of the design team with pretty much nonstop, very large corporate presentation design projects, ranging from very large auto industry clients to Barbies. Yes, the Barbie doll, who is
Can my daughters come?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, she's actually, I don't know if I can say this. I might have to, she's doing the entire Barbie brand. She's doing a Barbie 101, Ken 101, and a couple other ones, but they're basically, they're so stellar presentations, but they're information historical trends for the internal teams there. And it's so fun to do these presentations because it's, you know, first of all, Barbie has phenomenal photography to work with. And, they're great. And those presentations have been fun, but they've been a lot of time. I mean, just intense amounts of time working on those. And there's some analyst presentations and there's some pharma presentations. And I mean, it runs the gamut, but things have ramped up in a big way. And last week seemed to be the week. For last week, I had the other half of the team. And we managed, I'm going to say 2 to 4 virtual meetings, like corporate events per day on our platform, I'm very proud because they're all very engaging custom design work that we do for each corporate client. This is not template driven to the point where it looks very sterile. But for some reason, the last week of January was the week every corporate client scheduled their events. So it was a busy, busy week. Nolan, Sandy, what about you guys?
Well, I've been pulling together my 3 sessions on presenting data and on using PowerPoint for print projects for the upcoming Creative Pro PowerPoint Design Conference. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, but I've been working on that. I'm doing a little pro bono work for a science mentoring program for Boston high school students with one of my astrophysicist friends who asked me to help her kids present their research projects better. So I'm really excited for that this month. And I just signed on as a visual story expert, advising an online course that's going to launch later this year for scientists on how to present. Yeah, I can't mention the organization just yet, but it's all for this online program for scientists.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited.
That is super awesome. Hey, on a more simplistic note, I've got a sciencey thing. I got to tie it in where I can, because this was actually really fun. This project came in. We're like, what are we going to do here? One of the Cal State universities hosts an annual science carnival. It's a pretty big deal. And I actually thought it was for like graduate level people, displaying their work. It's actually for elementary schools to get them interested in STEM programs and stuff. We're hosting that entire science carnival as a virtual event on our platform throughout the month of April. When we get closer, I'm sure I can give it, because I believe it's open to the public. You just have to give your name and email. I'll let you know all about it. But I'm pretty excited now. So we get to see there's a science project a day being put up, I think is our current plan. So like, you know, 30 some science projects will go online as a virtual event so people can ooh and ah over them. And so there, see, I got science. You got astrophysicists. I've got kids, lava volcanoes, potentially. I don't know. It'll be fun.
Sandy, what are you doing?
Well, speaking of elementary school kids, actually, you'll recall a while back I mentioned that I'm writing the curriculum for the high school and college, college level students, and that'll be kicking off this month. So I'm really excited about that. But I do have a correction. I don't know if you recall. I think it was the last episode or one of our last episodes. I was all excited about my coffee maker that we received from Santa Claus, and I kept pronouncing it Magnifico. I didn't want to correct you. You're so sweet. I was thinking about that. Why didn't Troy correct me? But yeah, I was channeling my inner queen. But it's actually Magnifica, so I just wanted to make that correction in case anyone's interested. From a work standpoint, the national business meeting I was working on went off without a hitch. But unlike Troy, I don't need to manage the broadcast. I just need to make sure my executives are prepared to deliver their presentations. And they did a super, super job. I collaborated with the in-house technical team to make sure that happened. It was very, very fun. In the meantime, I'm working on a training package for a company. It includes training presentation, the trainer's guide, participants manual. And I just finished up with some PowerPoint training for a Twin Cities firm. So, continuing with good, fun projects and business.
Okay, on the news front, you know, I have some personal news. Maybe I should have put this in what's happening because we just got a surprise. And as a family, this is as a father, this is a big deal. Our middle daughter is in the Navy. She is on she is deployed right now. And I happen to be up working, no surprise. At about midnight, all of a sudden, Lori's Apple Watch like started blinging and beeping. And I'm like, what the heck? Well, she had left it out here on the desk area. I went over to it and it was actually our daughter calling. They had pulled into a port. So it was the first time we've actually been able to talk to her since December-ish. So, you know, it's been over a month or so. And it was kind of an awesome thing. So at like, you know, 12:30 in the morning, I'm sitting here and, you know, moved over to the couch and got to talk to my daughter. So that's kind of a newsworthy thing. So hi, Kaylee. Mm-hmm. Other news for the presentation world. So you people listening probably actually care more about this. This one's actually really exciting to me. It might be a little confusing for people, but if you're using Microsoft Teams and you go to present, they have Presenter View built into Teams. It's not PowerPoint Presenter View, but it's a version of it built into Teams. Now, I personally have a dilemma in that it's forced on us. We don't get a choice of using it or not, but it's pretty darn cool. And I'm kind of hoping some of the features or the ways they're approaching it kind of roll over to the desktop version. But it's a big deal. So if you're using Microsoft Teams, go try and present. You'll suddenly see a Presenter View like environment right in Teams. You know, I'm going to add one more and then I'll turn it over to you guys because this one's kind of fun. Later this month, so February 17th, I believe is the official day, we, TLC Creative, we're hosting a small presentation guild event using one of our new discussion room features. So ironically, I know it's Steffi Hogan doing something great, but I don't actually know the details because I haven't had time to read them. But here's the deal on it. I'll put it in the notes. I reached out to the guild offering to use our platform, you know, just, hey, would you like to do anything? I need to kind of stress test some of our coding. We have a new feature. It's a discussion room. You know, so it's a win-win for everybody. We're enabling the presentation summit to do it. And all of you folks hope listening, hopefully you'll come join into that event so we can just kind of get feedback on how this new discussion room is what we call it happens. Details will be in the show notes, but I will say the event is limited to 50 attendees. Because that's the limit for our embedded discussion rooms. Ironically, when I offered it, we wanted to stress test it. We've now used it like 100 times for other meetings where companies are just taking it up and saying it's awesome. But there is a presentation. Sandy, do you know anything about this? Can you help me out with some details?
Well, as far as, no, I don't know anything more about it. So I haven't talked with Steffi. I know you reached out, and that's where I kind of stepped back. And it's, I thought,
John Romolo and Steffi, yes, they got a whole thing. And I know I have a paragraph description of it. And I know I've set up a custom web page on our VXP platform for it with a login and credentialing and stuff like that. But I'm actually not sure about the content. It's going to be fun and exciting if it's Steffi. What else is happening in news?
Well, the Creative Pro PowerPoint PowerPoint Presentation Design Deep Dive Conference. That's the title of it. That's going to be February 18th and 19th coming up. I'm speaking at it. Our friends Richard Goring, Mark Heaps, Bethany Auk, my old friend Paris Sims, who I don't think a lot of people know about. He's going to be talking as well.
I love that name. Love that name.
He's got a great name. He's got a great name. Oh my goodness. I love Paris. You'll meet him one day, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And a few others as well are speaking. And there's still time to register for it. If you want a discount code for $100 off, follow me on Twitter, LinkedIn, or presentyourstory.com, where I'll post it and get it there. You can always DM me as well to get it. But we actually have a bit of an announcement for it, Sandy.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can get a discount for $100 off, or if you'd like the opportunity to win a completely free registration to the conference, we are giving away two, courtesy of Creative Pro. Here's how it's going to work. Go to creativepro.com/events and share the information for the conference on LinkedIn, Twitter, or Facebook, but be sure to tag Troy, Nolan, or me on the presentation podcast, or go to those channels to follow any one of us and reshare one of our posts promoting the conference. We promise we'll keep taking notes of everyone who tags us or the show, and then randomly we'll select two people at the end of this week. So the timeline is short. This comes out Tuesday, so by Friday, what's the date, guys? Friday.
Fifth is Friday.
Friday the 5th. Okay. End
of close of business February 5th.
No, wait. Would that be close of business for you, Nolan, on the East Coast? Sandy, you in Central, or me on West
I'm
Coast?
I'm in Central.
It's close of business New Zealand time.
Okay, there we go. So the day before.
Yeah.
So, and that's how you can win a free one. You'll find me. So if you want to tag me, I'm on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint MVP, and I'm on Twitter as @PPTWiz. Nolan, how about you?
Nolan Hames on Facebook and LinkedIn, and Twitter is @NolanHames. Aren't a whole lot of Nolan Hames is out there, so pretty easy to find.
Hey, I'm going to keep it really simple. Do not tag me. We do not have a social media content manager right now, which is a position I'm actually interviewing for this week, so we're going to hopefully resolve this. But I'm just not the Twitter social media person, especially right now. I've kind of taken a break from it during this pandemic. So I'm going to let the two of you be the point people and coordinate all this. But just so I got this straight, this is again me and social media. People are going to go to creativepro.com events, /events. And what are they going to do there?
Well, they can take the information there, share the link.
What is the information? Just because I don't actually know. I should go there.
It's just the information on it's the registration page.
Oh, that's the registration page. Yeah. Got it.
So they can share that, or to make it easier on them, they can just follow Sandy or I, or @prez_podcast on Twitter, and just reshare one of those posts. So the point is, we just want to help get the word out about the conference. So anything you can do to promote that, as long as you tag us, we'll enter you into that drawing. And by end of day, New Zealand time on Friday, we will,
and to clarify, I'm going to put a post on my personal, Facebook account, and I'll put one under the TLC just saying, this is the Creative Pro. So hold on. If I get this right, it's the PPTDDDC conference on February 18, 19. I'm very excited about it. It's going to be phenomenal. There's a lot happening in February. It's the year's starting to ramp up for the presentation year, which means we get to get to our conversation about presentation trends and predictions here in just a moment. Completing our 2021 presentation predictions. This is part two of a part two. This is part two of a two-part series. So if you missed episode 118, where we did a scorecard of our 2020 predictions, and then we covered six of our 2021 predictions, it's okay to pause, go find that episode, listen to things in sequence. I promise we'll be right here when you get done. It's a fun conversation. We'll wait. Okay, so now that we're all back together, how'd that work, guys?
just fine.
As noted in our last episode, we opted for the Baker's Dozen. We put together 13 presentation predictions from our collective experience and what we see as things that will happen this year in 2021. Without any more delay, onward with prediction number 7.
Okay. Number 7 on our list of 13 is animation. What do we see for animation in 2021? I'll say from high-end presentation designers and firms, I think we're going to see it get even better and increase. But for average presentations, I think we're going to see less, whether it's good or bad. And perhaps that's a fallout from the remote world of 2020, in which people were told by some people like me to avoid animation for bandwidth issues. And also because I think people were just more focused on content and print presentations and, you know, handouts and things like that than formal presenting to others. I think they just saw that being sort of less important, the dog and pony show. Sandy, what do you think about that?
Well, I agree with you. As you said, the high-end designers and the firms will use sophisticated animation to create videos, for example, for daily presentation delivery. As you, I'm encouraging less and less use. And Lori Collar actually pointed out she sees a waning use of slide transitions, mostly due to remote presenting. So I think complete agreement.
Yeah.
I'm going to actually contradict.
Well, there you go.
But in a different context. Okay, so I am hopeful that the idea of content flow will be more and more of an expectation across all levels of presentation. So just to clarify, this is like more thought in the design and layout of the content so that it ties in with, well, it's kind of like the thing I've been evangelizing for years about animation is that the idea that it should not feel like you just looked at 20, 30, 70 slides. It should feel like you had a seamless flow of content and just kind of a steady stream of that content that changes and morphs. So you really can't tell when the slide transitions were.
You're right.
So with that specific to animation, though, I see 2021 as the year that slide transitions make a comeback as the path to animation. So morph is a transition, but it works well on remote presenting, and it literally forces the idea of flowing content from one slide to another. A lot of times, because we have to break the animation, if you will, of morph into multiple slides, so you kind of lose that idea of slide count. But further, and this is where Lori was going, no transition can be used to build your visual animation. When the content is placed well in alignment and it continuously steps across, you can create a visual animation effect with no transition, just going through your slides can become the flipbook style animation. So, but the idea that, you know, fades, wipes, they all can kind of become chunky on this whole new forced remote presenting world. You know, I'm trying to agree with my wife here is what I'm really trying to do here, folks. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are going to be using no transition, but I think that design content will enable no transition to become a part of the actual design and visually create an animation flow.
Okay.
I'm going to hear about this later.
Okay. So how about presentation length? I mean, I think we will continue to see more and more shorter presentations. Nolan, what do you think?
Yeah, I think this is something I'm seeing in my client presentations. It was also something pointed out by both Mike Parkinson and Julie Turberg when we asked them. So yeah, I'm all for that. Shorter the better.
Now to clarify, we're talking shorter time period, not shorter or less amount of slides.
Correct, yes.
Okay, because I think we're going to see more slides, conversely, going right to the point I was just making, where you may end up using a lot more slides to create a visual effect for the audience to see, but it may be spread across 3, 4, 10, 12 slides. Okay, I wonder if shorter online meetings, because I think that's going to become a trend as people are just getting fatigued from sitting and watching things for such a long duration. And the remote format are going to make it, they're going to make it clearer when you have too much content that you can't adequately cover in a meeting. So I guess what I'm saying is, we may have shorter presentations, but I'm predicting that people recognize they can't just cram more content into that shorter amount of time period. They're gonna streamline their content, and they're gonna make the presentation duration, the shorter presentation, work better for the audiences.
You know what? And thank you for adding that. I think that's a key element to the drive for shorter presentations. It's, we cannot have hour long presentations at least without breaks, that sort of thing, driven by the remote context that we're in. So good point.
I think the prediction that we're going to have shorter presentation, or the presentation length overall is going to get shorter. I think we're going to win on that one, guys. I do.
Good.
Okay. I've got number 9, and it's all about integrations with presentations. Richard Goring at Bright Carbon, he wrote and called it engagement techniques. As example, I see going from presentation to polling becoming an expected norm in presentation activity, or the ability to integrate things like a live updating social media feed into the presentation content. Again, it's largely driven by kind of our small screen remote presenting world we're in right now, because those make it easier to implement. At some point, we're going to go back to the in-person stage events, and the technology to accomplish that's a little bit harder and trickier. So I don't know if it'll be as big a deal, because we have people sitting at computers. The engagement is pretty easy. Like, you're already at a device. Just click option 1, 2, or 3 for this poll. You know, it's not like a live audience where you got to tell people to pull out a device, or you got to hand out remotes, or you got to do all these other things. It's kind of, we've enabled it. So I think integrations within presentations will be a large factor in presentation delivery and kind of how you design your content this year.
Well, I still have great hope for PowerPoint's live presentation tool. Mm-hmm. Although I think it might be that we see more of those types of tools that basically give, you know, attendees their own sort of personalized experience. I think we're going to see things like individual subtitles and translation make their way into presenting platforms like Zoom and Teams rather than the slide software itself. But, you know, things like that are definitely engagement tools for, you know, not just to keep people entertained, but to help with the communication, as Richard mentioned. What about you, Sandy?
Well, speaking of engagement, which, you know, we've gone from integration with presentations to bringing engagement into the discussion, I've used both Zoom and Teams breakout rooms in my, Zoom most recently in the training I was doing. So I have 15 people on, and I want to have a lab like I would in a real world environment to keep people engaged and to test their learnings. And so what I would do is, after a certain section of the presentation, send them all off to a room to do a group practice and come back and present it. And I think that type of integration into the presentation makes engagement much more possible.
That's pretty cool. That's a great, yeah. I think that falls right in line with the idea that, because you're actually integrating the whole how-to process into the presentation time period. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think integrations are going to be big. What's our number 10?
Number 10, I think we're going to see even more work in Google Slides. I know we say this all the time, but I really think for two reasons, 2021 is, we're going to see more of it. 2020 meant, you know, really showcased the importance of collaboration. And I know Troy, your feelings that it's gotten seamless in PowerPoint, but I still just don't think PowerPoint for the masses has gained the ground on Google. I don't think they've publicized it enough. I don't think they made it easy enough. It's possible, but just not quite as easy as Google. So that's one reason. But I think 2020 has shown how important collaboration really is. But also, as more young people enter the workforce, they're bringing Google Slides with them, since that is what so many people used in college. And we're just going to see more and more of it. It's still a fraction of the work out there. And I still see just a fraction of corporate clients using it, but it is going to increase.
Well, to your point, Echo Swinford and Bethany Ock both agree with you. They predict that there's going to be more use of the G Suite because of the reasons you just mentioned. So I'm curious to see how this goes. What a report will be next year on this.
So, and I was reading through it, Mark Heaps, when he sent us his, he also included expanded use of Google Slides. And interestingly, he called it out specifically for corporate clients in the notes we received from him. I'm still not seeing this as a prediction. I'm predicting Google Slides, which is very capable, will continue as a niche use, but PowerPoint will kind of continue to expand its user base because it does have great collaboration tools now, and they've gotten more seamless in how you use them. I mean, being integrated into Microsoft Teams and other environments, it's just, and it's rolling out Teams specifically. It's rolling out not only to corporate users, but education and, you know, individual users. So I'm having a hard time seeing Google Slides gain that much to say it's a prediction that it'll, you know, it's an upward trend enough to say there. I'm just going that route.
Yep. You know what, Troy, with all of our corporate clients being on Microsoft Office 365 using MS Teams, I just can't imagine that Google Slides will be a part of it. Maybe smaller boutique type of firms, but I even see them on 365. So it's really, I'm curious. I really, really am.
Hey, can I take a tangent right here before we go to number 11? Because this falls right in line. It's more of a question, impromptu.
Yes.
I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this because this is another do you use or do you see this as a trend? So this is like outside our 13 elements people. Here's a question. Do you use Photoshop?
Yes.
Oh, yes, of course.
Do you use Illustrator?
Yes.
Do you use any other program besides a PowerPoint where you can get a lot of those things done? Do you use any other program to accomplish imagery, design, and layout?
Not
and maybe layout's the wrong word because I'd throw in design.
InDesign is separate.
Imagery development specifically.
No.
Okay. Do you use Figma? Are you familiar with Figma?
Yeah, it's what the young kids are using.
This is another one. Like, is Adobe gonna lose some ground because Figma is pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, Figma is basically vector and raster imagery development. It's got layering. It has tons of features. I mean, Photoshop has 1,000 options in it, and that's way underselling it. Mm-hmm. Figma says these are the 500 that people use, so let's just put them in. And it's an all online element, and it has a corporate rollout. I've now encountered just in the last month two different designers. That's their go-to tool. And Nolan, mm-hmm. they're both not the younger age bracket. Not saying what age bracket I am, but we are very much on track with each other. And I thought that was an interesting thing. Okay, so there's my aside. I just wanted to ask because it's kind of the same thing. Is Google Slides going to gain traction? Is PowerPoint going to gain traction? Are they going to stay the same? I'm going with the same, if nothing else. And I've just had this thing in the back of my head about, you know, image creation. And is Adobe going to, I don't want to even say lose, but will other things start to pick up steam as a universal use? And Figma gets referenced a lot. And now I've had two professional designers bring it up. One is an agency. That's what they're using. And the other is an individual. So, okay. Side note, back to number of predictions for 2021.
We're at number 11. And I'd like us to list our predictions on the global concept of imagery. I can start. I don't have a separate prediction. I'm going to just quote Julie Terberg, who made a couple of observations that I too see appearing in the world of design. The first is the use of subtle patterns and textures versus solid color. So I love solid color backgrounds, but I've seen Julie in particular, and she's so good at pulling in and being aware of trends in the industry, but adding subtle patterns that give that solid color just a little bit of texture. It's a beautiful look. Depth, and I'm seeing this too, Julie also says it's creeping back after years of flat land, she calls it. So we're seeing more light and shadows, a little more 3D objects, which... When I almost hate saying that word in the context of PowerPoint, but you know what I mean. Good 3D.
I love that she referenced Flatland. If nobody knows about it, is a book. I read in junior high in my math class, and it's one of my favorite books. It's all about a world, a two-dimensional world. It's really interesting, and it's not a long read, but it's a really interesting book.
Okay.
Oh. Huh. I have not read it, but I had, you know, the whole, what was the Mario, the Wii game? Paper Mario, right? Was anybody, oh, you're...
Nope.
And you just missed it. No, you're too young. Mine hit it. Mario Paper, I think is what it was called. Hold on. Daughters came in. Is that the name of the game? Say again. Official Super Mario Paper. No, say it again.
Super Paper Mario Wii.
Super Paper Mario Wii. So on the Wii gaming system.
Got it. Okay.
It was a flat world, and it got so there's a connection here, people. Just go with me. I was fascinated. I didn't actually play the games. I'm not a video game type of guy, but my kids did continuously. And it's in the novelty of it, the storyline and the animation or the way it was done. But it was referred to as Flatland. It's all flat. I mean, there's no three dimensional feel to it. Mm-hmm. You know. Anyways, so okay. Side note. So where am I going to go with the imagery? I'm going to approach the idea of imagery a little bit different. Surprise. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with the shape of the images. I predict. Hmm. 2021, we'll see a trend in wide, thin images as bands. It's kind of a web design mainstay. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of presentation design this year is going to work hard to mimic some of the higher level, I'll call it, web design layout and styling options, because the presentations are being put into the environments of these websites, if you will. Like our whole virtual meeting platform is very HTML, CSS driven in what we can do for design for all the other content, you know, the interactive agendas and the styling of the virtual environment where the presentation is going to live. So presentations are starting to look a little bit more like that, so that there's a connection. They look like they're a cohesive element. So I'm going to go with the long bands. Yes.
I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying. Is that, for example, I have a long horizontal rectangle on my PowerPoint slide and I'm going to fill it with an image?
I don't know how you're going to accomplish it, but I think you're going to have more. And you know what? Horizontal is a key factor because they're not going to be tall verticals. That's a traditional presentation design thing. I think those long bands. So your title area may have an image above it, title area and an image below it, and then the content area. Or in the middle of your slide, you may just do a nice long, big image with a single big call out word on it. I think we're just going to see this shape use. Okay. So not full screen, not traditional rectangle. Just an observation.
Interesting. I didn't know where you were going with shapes. I didn't know if like Pentagon is like the next. But it's interesting. This is a transition of mine, because I think maybe we'll start seeing the stock sites do more horizontal, focused imagery and things. I mean, when we say horizontal, I'm really wide, because as you said, we're seeing that a lot on websites and everything. But with that, I do think, you know, it's maybe it's a general thing to say, but better imagery and much less cheesy stock. And and the reasons I think are because, you know, we're seeing many more options for free or incredibly cheap stock that are at high quality. So you can now get free stock imagery in PowerPoint. And again, we're not talking about clip art, but like real good stuff. Adobe Stock has now 70,000 free items in a special collection, which is going to get more adoption to it. Unsplash, which is completely free, keeps getting better and better. Noun Project launched stock imagery this year in addition to icons for, you know, $40 a year. So just the quality and everybody shooting, there's just so much out there that I think it's going to be harder and harder for people to say, I don't have money or I can't access good stock. So I just
or Getty to charge $500 a photo. Do you think it'll be ever harder for them to do that?
It's going to be harder, but they've got their own. I'll tell you a story.
I understand.
I'll tell you a story off camera about Getty.
Okay. Love it.
From this past year,
Getty's going to continue an editorial where you got to pay because it's, you know, real people, real
permissions.
Anyways, okay, we're getting there. We're getting there as we near the end of our 2021 predictions. I was kind of running out of design and presentation ideas. So, you know, thanks guys for, you know, picking up the slack and coming up with other topics. But so as I leaned back in my nice Herman Miller chair that I've been sitting in way too much the past 6 months, I looked at my workstation and I realized that was my prediction. got you all on the edge of your chair. Are you guys excited or questioning like Troy's lost
chairs?
It was presenting with dual monitors. It's going to be a norm, and it's, you know, it started last year, but it's going to become the norm this year. This could be because everybody gets to present from their home office now, or, you know, everybody's kind of done upgrades. It could be the presentation slideshow on one screen and the presenter view on the other. Pretty traditional setup. Or it could be presentation on one screen that you're presenting and your email open on the other screen, or your chat dialogue, getting feedback from your colleagues. Maybe this is more of a prediction of presenting while multitasking. But I really think that our presenter mentality of how we look at the presentation and the other elements around us is going to evolve into a dual monitor system for so many presenters.
I 100% agree. And as I've been working with clients for online meetings and presentations, I'm finding that nearly all of them in a corporate setting are working from dual monitors. So I agree. I'm seeing that now.
Well, always being ahead of the curve myself, this year I bought a third monitor. So,
yes.
But dual monitors, absolutely. This is a good time to point out that there is a setting in Zoom's advanced settings for presenting with dual monitors. That it's going to allow you to play. It allows you to place attendee cameras on the second screen and just get a lot more control to customize your own experience. So, yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. Well, let me finish up. Prediction number 13 is the increased use of expanded hardware and software solutions for presenting. And what I mean by that is OBS, the app, Ecamm, the Zoom features, and I think Teams. They're going to continue pushing out integrated presentation solutions with PowerPoint that could really take off. What do you think?
Well, first of all, Ecamm is Mac only, so all of us Windows users, it is an awesome application. We are missing out. So Andy Goodman of the Goodman Center, he's been on a couple of times, fantastic resource for just so many good things. He feels people are going to continue what he called upping their game with better cameras, better lighting. Nolan, I think on the last episode, you kind of pointed out your cool new setup. And you know, several months ago, we put together several broadcast studios with full light kits, back walls that are, you know, LED painted, if you will, you know, DSLR cameras, multi-camera switchers. I have answered literally dozens of emails, no joke here, about equipment in just the past 2 months. Which includes, I believe you, Nolan, because we talked about cameras and options.
I always go to you to get advice.
I talked to Rick Altman. This is a humble apology, Rick. I kind of gave bad numbers to Rick, and he may have purchased something that wasn't the right model. And many presentation summit attendees and several podcast listeners, they've all reached out. And because I spent several months trying to figure all this stuff out and kind of perfect it, again, I'm coming at it from the background of all this large staged AV tech background. I'll just say I may have gone a little bit overboard, but I did, you know, put together an amassed solution, or I just put together a lot. So I agree. I think that presenting is going to get better, and presenters are going to have better hardware, better software solutions, and the quality of the presentations are going to look better, even if it's just down to the point of I need two points of light. Hopefully they're LED and they create a nice cough. So they create some depth to you and it focuses on your face so that the whole room isn't lit up or the top of your head isn't the bright halo spot. I think presentation is going to get better for remote presenters specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So last time my tip of the week, last episode was, this YouTube star, I think, Caleb Pike, who I mentioned. So if you missed that, go listen to that. So yeah, I went down this whole rabbit hole of watching YouTube videos the last couple months and from streamers and how to present online and get cameras and everything. So I definitely agree with all that. I think it's going to go up. Also, always a good time to mention one of my favorite Twitter accounts, which is Rate My Room. Room Raider, which takes, you know, gives screenshots of various people on the cable news and how their setups are and how they, you know, fall down and what things are good. So I think people are seeing, oh, you know, I definitely know people on, you know, who appear on the news want to get a 10 out of 10. So they up their game there. And I think your average presenter is going to as well.
Okay, everybody, we have done our 2021 predictions. We had to split it across two episodes. Thank you for staying with us. It's been fun. And we did not only 12, the traditional. Well, I guess 10. The top 10 is the traditional. Then we said we should do 12. And then we said Baker's dozen. Let's go with 13. But hey, because we split it into two episodes, we got a little more time on our hands. That's our 13 presentation design predictions. We'll see how we do in 12 months from now. But before we wrap up, let's kind of do a little bonus lightning round because I think we'll have the time. Was there a prediction sent in that surprised you or something you had not taken into notice yet? So kind of like, we're not going to count these. We're not going to recount these ones next year, but there was some really, really insightful, good stuff that we got to read from the people we asked. Name off one of them.
Sure, I'll go. I'm not sure Marshall Maxstein of eSlide gave us so much of a prediction as a hope, and also the guiding presentation of or principle of the Presentation Guild, but he said the continued recognition of the value of professionally designed and produced PowerPoint slides for high-stakes meetings. So I think we can all agree on that, that will be a prediction we hope to come true, and it's just being recognized more and more and valued than in the past. Troy, anything that surprised you?
Yeah, I got one. And this will not surprise you. The prediction, if you know this person, is going to be instant. If I say, what is Yulia Barnikova's prediction about? Now, all of us, we read it, but let me just read it. She even admits it herself. Starts off with, not surprisingly, comma, I think 3D platforms will continue to heat up this year. More and more people are realizing their power, the platforms, as they search for more immersive ways to present. And then she gave us a whole amazing list of options and reasons why 3D is going to, those virtual environments, why they're going to be a big upward trend in 2020. But I'm not going to go with Yulia anymore. I'm going to say, I've got a very cool shout out to my very cool nephew, Max. He's young, he's smart, he's very technology savvy. We spent Thanksgiving at my sister's home, so you know, several months back now, and me watching Max not become motion sick while continuously wearing his Oculus Quest 2 goggles made me realize the next generation is going to love and adopt 3D and virtual as the natural tools to use. And that's going to extend to presenting and how they receive information. So I don't know if it'll be the 2021 will be the adoption year, but I can see it coming. Like, this is the direction of things.
Well, I'll be really impressed if he was watching a Prezi in those Oculus and not getting motion sick.
No, my favorite was actually bass fishing, you know, so he's like reel back. But yeah, I'm just not the generation. Motion sickness got me. I was like, okay, this is cool for a very small amount of time. Okay.
Well, I have something really near and dear to me, and I think it needs to be mentioned. Simon Morton reached out to us and said that there will be continued growth in hybrid presentations. And by this definition of hybrid, he's saying presentations where a main or a master presentation is created, and then it's repurposed into several different formats to meet a number of uses. He's talking about everything from slide doc type of handouts to HTML5 tool to share keep, I'm sorry, to an interactive HTML5 tool to share key points, educate a wider audience within the prospect of, within the prospect, the client prospect. So I wanted to add that to it, to this list. I think he's dead on.
That's awesome. Let me give us a wrap up. We'll jump over to another round of pro and tech tips, and we can conclude our 2021 predictions. Welcome 2021. Let's see how we do with our predictions as the year of presentations unfolds. Nolan and Sandy, thank you for the time invested in the conversation. Hey, folks, we actually had to think through things. We just didn't say, hey, here's a topic, let's sit together and talk. We had to refer back to notes from the beginning of 2020. We had to put together our lists to make sure we weren't totally argumentative among ourselves. Not that we ever are, but we do good. I feel the effort was totally worth it. And thank you to the many people that replied to our email asking for your prediction or one prediction for the year.
We didn't get to include them all, but thank you. And thank you for your attention, you know, you that are listening in and joining us. Professional presentation design, treating presentations as a profession and a communication tool, and spending some time with us, we predict that will continue. Or wait, hold on, going back to our first episode, maybe that's our hope. Cue the Star Wars theme. Okay, folks, welcome to 2021. Let's see how the year kind of goes. We'll do a scorecard on these predictions, which will be much more concise. It's only 13, and we can literally go through those in hopefully 15 minutes. So next January-ish, we'll do that. But let us know what you think. Let's see how things go, and let's make it a fun, great year, better than 2020. How's that for the statement, guys? Let's jump over some pro and tech tips.
You start, Troy.
Okay. I'm going to go. So I have a PowerPoint tip from a conversation with Echo Swinford. Side note, hint, hint. Echo, who is working on the updated presentation certifications.
That's right.
And mm-hmm. has been reaching out to people to clarify things. So here's my tip. And this is it was a great conversation because it made me realize something that you know, I realize and I take advantage of, but it can be very obscure or confusing. So there is a reason to use an inserted image, and there is a reason to use a PowerPoint shape filled with an image. Both of those, you can access the crop, you know, resize, reposition tool, which if you don't do that with images, it's amazing. And there's the tip in and of itself. Go experiment with the PowerPoint image crop tool. But a key technical difference and something that has frustrated, I'm going to say everyone at some point, is that there is no edit point. So do you guys know what I'm talking about here?
Do you mean like right clicking edit points?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We cannot manually access the edit points of an image container. So you can't right click on it and say edit points. You can't get tricky. You can overlay another shape and then you can use the shape merge tools to customize that shape. So you can kind of customize an image shape, but you got to go through a couple other steps to make it happen. And I think that's what a lot of people do, but you just can't go in and use your vector shape editing skills by right clicking and choosing that edit points. But if you take a shape, just a PowerPoint shape, rectangle, square, triangle, whatever, you fill it with your image and then you can use there's a couple of ways to access it, but now most people just simply, edit the image. You can reposition it. You can resize it. You can put it anywhere you want. The key is you can right click on that shape and you can get to the edit points and you can customize the image container with, our amazing Adobe Illustrator skills. So you if you want a rounded edge on one side or you need a custom shape, you can do it. You just have to know how to get to the right type of shape to do it in. That's my tip.
Excellent.
Excellent. Good.
I'll go next. So this next one is a Windows tip and it's from Julie Terberg. I don't know how she finds these things, but when you have SVG files and you want to view them in File Explorer, when you double click or open the file, you end up with the, you can't see actually what the file is. You have to open it within a software program.
There's no preview. There's no live.
There is no preview.
Thank you.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you get to know what your default browser is because it shows you the icon for that browser. Cause it's basically saying, I'm going to open this up in a browser and I'm very on the edge of my seat to hear this. Cause I do not know where you're going.
Okay. Go to GitHub and install the tool called Microsoft Power Toys. And you still see the SVG icon in Explorer, but with a click, you open it up and you can see the icon immediately or the logo, whatever it is, you have an SVG format. So we will put that link in the show notes.
I'm shocked. I just never noticed it on the Mac. SVGs do preview.
So. Thank you so much for bringing that up because
I'm wondering if it'll do AI files as well because we can't preview Illustrator files either or PSDs. They're just an icon and on the Mac you can preview. I can't install this now because I don't want to ruin the recording or take a chance, but I'm going to
just wait a couple minutes.
My finger is over this link. I want to get this one installed. Nolan, what do you got?
I don't think I've done this tip before. I have a third monitor. It's from UPerfect. It's a 15.5-inch 4K external monitor. It's a little pricey at $500, but I've seen sales that bring it down to $400. It's this insanely thin touchscreen, USB-C, incredibly portable thing. It just basically has a built-in stand that just folds out. So I can use it when I travel to give me a second screen in my PC. But right now it's my sort of side little third monitor on my left that I've actually mounted on sort of my whole rig, which we'll talk about, you know, another time. But it's great. And it's from a company called UPerfect, but it's basically a no-name company. You can find it on Amazon or a few other places. We'll include a link. It's really just awesome. It's just really perfect, thin, clean, no big bevel or anything. So that is my tip of the week. If you're looking for especially a portable monitor, it's just really it's like thinner than a laptop. It just, you know, goes in your bag or whatever. So that's awesome. That's mine for the week.
Those are great. We are going to wrap up, folks, because this has been a two-part series. So let's do some sign-offs and say goodbye to everybody listening, and then we'll, you know, have everybody join us again in a couple of weeks. This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, a professional presentation design agency. Give us a call if anybody you know needs presentation work, design work, or has a virtual event coming up. We'd love to talk to you.
This is Nolan from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out my blog, presentyourstory.com, where you can get lots of downloads and goodies. And also the newly redesigned nolanhamescreative.com if you're looking for online training in data viz or presentation.
And this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz. You can visit my website and blog at presentationwiz.biz, the Presentation Guild at presentationguild.org. And I'm also on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint MVP, and on Twitter as @PPTWiz.
Thank you for joining us for another great presentation conversation. Episode show notes are available at the Presentation Podcast website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. Also through the website, contact the show host with episode suggestions, questions, or comments. We want other designers to join us, and you can help. Please leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc., and new episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.